Blog Talk Radio.
Finalists are going to be, but in some ways the picture may get real fuzzy and real scary for a bunch of teams after today.
That's right. It's that time of year, and folks, there's a lot going on. Horse racing, of course. There's NFL action, and that playoff picture is starting to take a little bit of shape. We have college basketball. And probably one of the most exciting periods of sports is going to be happening today, as Bobby pointed out, as things will start to get either a little finer tuned or even more muddled as we go through the college football playoffs. All right, let's take care of a little bit of business here first, and then we'll get rolling. And let everybody know that we're brought to you each and every Saturday by sportswagers-selections.com. And folks, for free plays and pay plays, which are affordably priced along with several different packages, just visit our website at sportswagers-selections.com or go to Twitter. Type in Eddie the Hat Wins, and we'll get a free play out to you each and every sports day. All right, Bobby, why don't you go ahead and kick us off with your Who's Hot and Who's Not segment.
Well, I'll tell you what, with the a fear of starting to sound like a broken record, I'm going to say one more week I'm going to talk about the Warriors. And then we're going to have a moratorium, no more Warriors until either they break 33 games or we get a clear picture of just how incredibly good they are this year. But this is the picture I want you to have today. Yesterday, they had 23 turnovers. They allowed 119 points on 92 shots. I mean, that's pretty bad, right? They still won by 16. I mean, how good is this Golden State Warriors team? I mean, it's just like, I don't remember seeing anything quite like this. The best I can remember would be the Lakers that won 33 games in a row after Bader retired. You know, it's just sort of an amazing streak.
I can't argue that with you. They've had some close calls, and I think, I guess you would say that maybe it could be that they're kind of losing focus, that they're getting bored with themselves, but you're absolutely right. I mean, they're just going out and taking care of business, and somehow, I've said it all along, Bobby, this is a team that's very capable of going on a very quick 16-18-0 run, and that's how they've been able to put a lot of these teams into a chokehold and put them to sleep late. And Stephon Curry is just, the kid is just unbelievable. And the players that are playing behind him, Luke Walton has done a great job filling in. And, it's amazing what they've accomplished this year and to stay focused.
They're a pro team. They remind me of UCLA, of Wooden's great teams. It's sort of like nobody cares who gets the credit. They just murder people, you know. And Clayton Thompson, who I think is like one of the premier players in the NBA, he's almost a role player. And Harrison Barnes, when Harrison Barnes is in there, you don't even miss him. So it's like when you can go. And yesterday they went the whole fourth quarter without Curry. Curry didn't play in the fourth quarter. This is the adjectives fail me. It's just, they just aren't there to describe what people are seeing. So, just enjoy the run. This is a once-in-a-lifetime deal. Now, on the other hand, the cold for me, I got to tell you that the cold for me is out in LSU. It's like, how can you go from LSU being number two 3 weeks ago? They have a three-game losing streak, and you want to get rid of the best coach in the history of the college, the history of that university? Everybody's saying Les Miles is out, and that the leadership there wants to get rid of him. It's like, wow. I mean, here, what have you done for me lately? You know, one national championship, two SEC championships, like Tim Tebow said, the best recruiting class in America this year. Oh, well.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised to see that too. But I think it appears to be a mutual parting, don't you think, Bobby? I mean, I think
Les Miles was on the SportsCenter today, and he told the ESPN reporter, he says, "I love it here," and he says, "I do not want to leave." He says, "I don't know whether tomorrow is going to be my last game today or not." But he says, I love LSU and I love being the coach.
Yeah. Talk about the ultimate distraction. I mean, why this is even being talked about right now until the end of the season is beyond me.
And they play. LSU plays in the SEC. It's not like they're going up against the Sisters of the Poor now. I mean, the teams they're playing Tennessee. They're playing Texas A&M. They're playing Missouri. They're playing Alabama and Auburn. I mean, it's like, there aren't that many cupcakes in that schedule.
Right. And I think we have Hondo with us on the line now. Hondo, how are you this morning?
I'm good, guys.
And
hey, Hondo, I'm going to college football, Hondo, and I'm thinking they've got a real chance to have six really good teams in a four-team format. I mean, that's got to be a nightmare for, if the wrong teams went out.
Well, I kind of like it. I think the way I look at it, keep it at four, don't add six, because you know what? Then they're going to be adding eight, down the road. Yeah. You know how it goes, guys. I mean, they just can't get enough.
We got 2 weeks left, it's going to play itself out. You know, you got people always do this. They always go, oh, so-and-so should be in. Well, you know, let's let the season play out before we complain about some team being left out or some team that's included right now.
At least we won't hear Baylor bitching and whining.
Yeah.
They're out, and we won't have any of that goofiness and nonsense that we had with them last year, whining on how they got left out. So, you know, I'm all for the four, and it creates, you know, I don't care who gets in, who gets left out. I don't care about the polls. I just care about the matchups. As Hondo once said, don't tell me about the pregnancy, just tell me about the baby. And, you know, that's pretty much where I'm at. But, you know, I got to chuckle at some of these teams that are playing these patsies and winning and saying, well, we deserve to be in there. It's like, oh, bullshit. You know, why don't you step up, play a decent schedule, play some decent teams. You know,
yeah.
But, I mean, Bobby, don't you think four is enough, or do you want to see it expanded till six?
Well, they've got five major conferences, and if all five of those conferences had a championship game, I would say take the conference champions. Well, I think what I would like to see is I'd like to see four super conferences with championships and have the four champions, you know, square off. But that would leave the all the others out, and there might be a worthy team in there, but like this year with Notre Dame, so maybe you need one play-in game. I don't know. Maybe you need five. You know, one play-in game, like an early bowl game, like around December 10th or 15th, and to give them 2 weeks to prepare. But I love the format. I love the fact that they're settling it on the field. And I don't think we haven't had a pretender become champion yet, and I don't think we ever will have. The only thing you might have is you could have a team like a TCU that's 11-1, or you know, not this year, but or Notre Dame that's going to be a one loss team. They could be left out, but I don't think teams that lose conference championships should be involved in the playoffs, and I don't think teams with two losses should be in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm afraid that they're going to dilute it like they have the bowl games, where you have the games starting, you know, the first part of December, the middle of December. I'm more of an old school traditionalist where, you know, let's play the big games, you know, on January on the holidays, the way it used to be in the old days.
The worst thing happened.
40 bowl games, guys. 40 this year.
Yeah, and I mean, that's ridiculous. That's the only thing, guys, that scares me. If you take it
well,
from
there used
four,
to be, there used
and,
to be 106 Division I teams, and I think there's around 140 now. I'm not sure what the total number is, but I think it's around 140. So you're still putting more than half of the schools into bowl games, and that's crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, half of these teams, you know, they're 4-7. You know, they got losing records, and you know, I understand there's money involved, but it's just, you know, it's not special anymore, and it's you know. All right, let's head out to Del Mar. The turf meets the surf. The Bing Crosby meet closing day, folks, is on Sunday, and then we start a little mini meet out at Los Alamitos. So let's get to our free play here for all the listeners, and that comes in the first race today at Del Mar. We like a horse number 5, Financial, here, David Hoffman's. This horse has been recently gelded. Our clockers indicate that this horse has been working very well in the morning since. It appears that since his little snip-snip procedure has been completed, that he has turned it around. He's cutting back in distance. He's sprinting, and we're encouraged to see Tyler Bays back on board. So we're going to go with the Super Saver Gelding here, Financial. And if you're heading out to the track today or want to pick up the phone, call your neighborhood friend a couple of bucks to win in place. Number 5, Financial, the 5th race today out at Del Mar. All right, when we come back, we're going to have Boppy's Lock to the Weekend. We're going to get some free plays from Hondo and myself. So don't go far. This is your cue. Go refresh your beverage of choice. And when we come back, we'll have some more Keeping Score with Boppy.
Less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more bite, a little less bark. A little less fight, a little more spark. Close your mouth and open up your heart, and baby, satisfy me. Satisfy me, baby. Baby, close your eyes and listen to the music. Dig to the summer breeze. It's a groovy night and I can show you how to use it. To come along with me and put your mind at ease. Hey! Less conversation, a little more action. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more bite, a little less spark. A little less bite, a little more spark. Close your mouth and open up your heart. And baby, satisfy me. Satisfy me, baby. Come on, baby, I'm tired of talking. Grab your coat and let's start walking. Come on.
All right, folks, we are back with the second half of Keeping Score with Boppy. And I am Eddie the Hat. We have Hondo and, of course, Big Boppy with us this morning. And let's start with Hondo first this morning. And we'll get your, do you have any free plays for us? Is Hondo with us?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry.
All right.
You want my free play? Or?
Yeah, let's go ahead and start with you first.
I like a horse out of Del Mar in the ninth race. A horse named, he's on the outside, Fritz Johansson, with Rafael Bajarano and trainer Mark Glatt. And Glatt's win percentage appreciably goes higher when Bajarano rides a horse for him. So I think Fritz Johansson, who's taken a drop in class, Bajarano is sticking with him, and I like that horse in the last race at Del Mar today.
All right. Boppy, go ahead and give us a winner, my friend.
Well, I don't have a real any inside information on this game, or any what I call the stunning insight. This is just my feeling that the Fighting Irish are not going to let an opportunity to get into the playoffs go by the board. I think the fact that you can get 3.5 points and Notre Dame in a game that means this much this late in the season, I got to go with the Irish. I think the Irish are going to take care of business on the defensive end and score just enough points to win. I think I like Notre Dame against Stanford today.
All right. And, folks, that's 217, 218 on your rotation schedule. And Boppy is suggesting a play on 217 Notre Dame on the road. And Boppy, you're getting 3.5 in that matchup. And for you over-under players, that game is sitting at 57.
If you could check that, I think the line flipped in this game. I think it started with Notre Dame favored, and then it flipped. Is that right?
No. Nope.
No? Okay.
It's been Stanford's been favored all along, Boppy, at 3.5.
That's going to be, I think, one of the top games of the day. You know, did you know that Notre Dame has lost 9 starters this year? To injury. That, you know, I think they lost. I think they've lost 2 running backs. They lost their starting quarterback. But I'll tell you, as far as the Heisman Trophy race goes, I have a vote every year. And one of the players I've been most impressed with this year is that kid for Stanford, Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, absolutely.
He is, and he's also one of the only 3 players in the FBS this year to have caught a touchdown pass, thrown a touchdown pass, run in for a touchdown, and returned a kick for a touchdown. He's done all 4. He's one of only 3 players in the country to have done that in the FBS. He's only a sophomore. He's a really good player.
Oh, and wow. Bobby, yeah. Your road record with Notre Dame, they're 10-1 on the road, or 10-1 on the season and 3-1 away. So you're opting to take the 3.5. That's a game I have no interest in, but I'll tell you what, I can't fault you for taking it, because when you get the Irish in points, that's not a bad thing.
No, yeah, and I think it'll be decided by a field goal or less. I mean, I think it's going to be a real barn burner. But by the way, for a couple of teams, this week was pretty critical. Iowa surprised me by finishing the season 12-0. I mean, usually they have, even when they play a soft schedule, a softer Big Ten schedule like they got this year, they usually lose two or three games, and sometimes even lose the in-state rival Iowa State. But this year, with C.J. Beathard at quarterback, they aren't turning the ball over at all, and with that stout defense, they're winning games. And they've recently developed this Chris Cannizzeri, their running back. He's developed a breakaway kind of a ability, and they're outscoring some people. So I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs. Even if they win the Big Ten, I don't know if they make the playoffs. But this is the best Iowa team in 60 years.
Well, they'll make the playoff if they. They're going to either play Michigan State, or Ohio State in the Big Ten title game. If they beat one of those three and go undefeated and win the Big Ten title, they'll be in the playoff.
Yeah, for sure. They should be.
Because they're number four right now, so they'll stay in.
All right. The hat is going out to the state of Michigan. And from what we understand, Ohio State fans – do not walk into that stadium wearing khakis. It would not be good for your health to do such a gaffe. But Bobby, here is a team that is taking steam. This line this morning at 6 a.m. was Ohio State -1. It is now up to Ohio State -2. So people are thinking that maybe Michigan is not quite as seasoned to be able to eke out a win here. I strongly disagree, and I'm siding with 146, the Michigan Wolverines, in this matchup. I've been nothing but impressed with this team, with what Harbaugh has done in a very limited amount of time, and I think that Ohio State, coming off of their loss this past week. I like Michigan at home. I'm going to take the +2. So pick up the phone or however you want to do it, folks, and go with number 146, Michigan, and take the +2 points. All right, guys, we have about 7 minutes left on the card today. Why don't you go ahead and we'll open it up and you guys can talk about whatever is on your mind.
I think the Dodgers need to address their pitching. I really do. And I think they need to figure out either a way to keep Greinke or to attract another big arm to back up Kershaw.
Dodgers cannot afford to let Greinke get away. That's just
I hope right.
Bottom line. Well, I'm not saying that he will be back. I'm just saying if I'm the Dodgers, I don't let him leave. But we'll see about the ownership group. I think the Dodgers, right now, the Dodgers' biggest problem, Bobby, is what do you do with Yasiel Puig? He's in trouble again. These athletes, I don't understand. You got the same thing with the kid from Philadelphia, Okafor. He's been in the league now for 1 month. And he's already had 2 scrapes with the law. He had a guy point a gun at him outside of a nightclub reportedly last month. And now this other thing the other day where he supposedly got into another altercation with somebody outside a nightclub. Same with Puig outside of Miami nightclub. When are these guys going to learn to quit hanging around? You want to party? Stay home and party.
Yeah,
or at least go to a hotel and party and stay in your room.
Yeah, yeah.
I've said it before. I'm an old man now. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. Nothing ever good happens past midnight. If you're out and you're about and you're doing stuff, if you're a player, guys, gals, whatever, you're going to get targeted. You've got all these people that are freeloaders, chumps, chimps, whatever. Don't go out and party past midnight. Unless you're Johnny Manziel and his old man who still thinks he's 17 years old, that whole situation is an absolute disgrace. And that's a guy that needs to be cut immediately and sent packing from Cleveland. But Cleveland, with their moronic management and, you know, their situation in Cleveland, you know, they get what they get. And it happens over and over and over and over again up there.
The Browns have one of the most dysfunctional front offices in all of sports. Ever since they re-entered the league after their original team left for Baltimore, and they got one of the expansion teams, they've just, you know, one moronic decision after another one in that front office. It's just unbelievable. How many quarterbacks have they drafted the last 10 years? 5 or 6 in the first round. I mean, you know, and the coaching carousel. You know, I've been a Pittsburgh Steelers fan since the early 70s. And since my time of rooting for that team, which is now over 40 years, they have had 3 coaches: Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, and Mike Tomlin. That's stability, and that's why they win.
Yeah, Bobby, what do you think about the situation in Cleveland?
Oh, well, I was still back on thinking about Yasiel Puig, and I had some fatherly advice for the general managers in all sports, and I would say one problem is a question, 2 problems is, you know, time for the minister to intervene, and 3 questions, that's when you hit the dive signal on the submarine, ooga ooga, dive, jettison, because if you get, and especially if you get a guy with 2 or 3 problems with guns, that's when you end up with one of your players facing murder charges. You've got to get away from them right away. And I would say that the number of times it was at Okafor, that's scary. And Yasiel Puig, his problem with domestic abuse was with his sister. You can't have that guy around.
Lower life form than a man who slaps around his sister. I mean, Jesus. I mean, you know what? In everybody's defense, my defense, I said from day one that man was trouble. And if I said it sitting on the sidelines, don't you think the Dodgers realize that? I mean, don't they vet these people, or do they just say, hey, you've got so much talent, we don't care? I don't get it. I don't get it.
It's reaching the point where at first
like
his excuse,
fire boy.
At first his excuse was he's young, he's come from a foreign country. Well, it's starting to run out of excuses now, because it's almost getting to the point where it's getting worse rather than getting better.
Can you imagine Dave Roberts putting up with this? No way. I think Roberts will cut him loose right away.
Well, I'm afraid that Dave Roberts, who I like, and I think it was a great hire by the Dodgers, I'm wondering how much power Dave Roberts is actually going to have, because I think Andrew Friedman runs that team, and he's gonna, you know, it's a whole different ballgame now, Bobby, with general managers and managers. It's almost like many of the managers now become puppets. And
that's too bad for the game.
That sickens me, because I think the general manager wants to run things, put the uniform on, and go down to the dugout yourself.
All right, guys. Well, we've reached that point this morning, and I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Hondo, thank you for being with us.
All right, guys.
And, Bobby, it's that time of the morning. Go ahead and say it.
Be safe, be careful, and God bless. We'll see you all next week, Lord willing.
All right, folks, and we will be back with you same time, same place on the 6th of December. Actually, I'm sorry, it's the 5th of December, and we hope that you join us at 8 a.m. next week. Until then, good luck with your wagers, and we hope to see everybody in the cashier's line.